Everybody happy tonight? Man, I want to tell you something. Don't ever mention something to Brother Angelo unless he want him to tell you you need to develop that message and come and preach it, because guess what? He will, won't he, sister? And so anyway, I was sort of excited about this. I'm going to be sharing tonight on something that just came into my mind. I don't know if God does y'all that way or not, but he does me. Lots of times the best things that I get from God is just a thought that comes. And I was sharing with Brother Angelo about restoration and vindication. And so I told him, you know, the Lord's sort of been dealing with me about that, about restoration, about vindication. Am I, and I was thinking at that time, am I being vindictive about something, God? You know, am I just doing something to be vindictive? And that's not what it means at all. But anyway, that's what I was thinking at that time. And so I want to start off by just giving you some definitions. What restoration is. Restoration, a restoring to an unimpaired or improved condition. And I watch a lot of these videos and stuff on television, you know, how to do it, you know, where they're doing the cars and stuff like that. And they always say this: they're going to take something that was in its day something good, but what they're going to do is they're going to restore it to something better than what it was. And what I believe God was showing me through all of this is that what He wants to do is take our old life, our old things, and He wants to restore things and make things better than what they were before. And that's available, I believe, to everybody. And I looked up vindication, because I always want to be vindictive, you know. If you say you want to do something and I want to do something opposite to it sometimes. But that's not what it means at all. What it means is to be acquitted. Amen. To be acquitted. Right. To be cleared. To be exonerated. Yes. See, it means all those things, you know. And then, you know, the thing is that as I got to studying this deeper and deeper, because I'm probably a lot like Casey. I love words now, and I want to know the meanings of them, and I want to know all the meanings of them. I don't want to just look to what is best suited for me at that particular time. I want to know what they mean. And we got the miracle called the internet now. We can find out all those meanings like that. Used to, I would have to go to a collegiate dictionary, and we're not talking about the little Webster dictionary. I'm talking about volumes of dictionaries. And then you would have to read the whole thing, and there may be this many meanings to one word. But you would have to find out what that meaning was for the particular situation you were in. So vindication led me to justification. And what I would ask you tonight, are you justified? And in Jesus, guess what? You can be justified. We're going to talk about all that briefly tonight, because I want to get you out of here before 10 o'clock. You know, 9:45, something like that. Brother Angelo said, I'll have to shut him off. But justification is the act or instance of justifying something. Listen, vindication is part of justification. And you're going to find out that vindication and justification is a part of restoration as you start to look and search the words out. And then it led me to one other word called sanctification. The state of being sanctified. The state of growing in divine grace as a result of some kind of Christian or religious commitment. And see, I think that, you know, we're justified in Jesus, but we're continually being sanctified through the Word of God and through the power of His love. I'm going to start with vindication. It's not listed a whole lot in the Bible, but there are a few scriptures. Psalms 135:14, and I know we don't have the ESV, but that's what I use. It says, "For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants." And in other words, God has taken my case. When I submitted to Jesus, God took my case. And He's found me not guilty. Not because of me, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Because if it doesn't lead back to what Jesus did on the cross, guess what? We're missing the whole gist of everything. See, if it doesn't lead back to salvation, lead back to grace, guess what? We're missing it, folks. Isaiah 35:4 says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Lord will come with vengeance." And with the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Hey, that tells me that when I'm in need of something, Sister Mary, when I'm in need of something, that God is rushing to my rescue. See, it's almost like that He centers in on me when I need His help, if I'm walking with Him. Now, if you're out somewhere in left field, right field, and you're not centered in on God, guess what? I can't help you. And sometimes God won't help you. He'll stand back and He will let you flounder around in your calamity, I think is what the Word talks about. So, vindication. Let's talk about sanctification for just a minute. John 17:17 says this, "Sanctify them in the truth." And then it goes on to say, "Your word is truth." Yeah. The word of God is truth. You know, Brother Larry may tell you something, and guess what? I can get it wrong sometimes, but the word of God never gets it wrong. See, I may think something is right and I'd be totally off in left field, but I won't tell you what. God's Word is never, ever, ever wrong. It's always truth. And it will always bring life. Always. Ephesians 5:26 says this, "That He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word." The Word. Again, a sanctification keeps going back to the Word. Back to the Word, and back to the Word, and back to the Word. And what that's telling me is if you don't put any Word in, guess what? If you put garbage in, garbage comes out. We used to hear that years ago. Garbage in, garbage out. Word in, the Word comes out. Guess what? When a tribulation comes, when a problem comes, guess what? Instead of saying, "Oh, poor, miserable me," the Word starts coming out. You know, sometimes I'll come in and I'll tell Mary, I said, "Boy, I sure don't feel good, or my knees hurt." She says, "Oh, your knee's not hurting. It's not hurting. Don't you confess that." And sometimes I'm really hurting, it really makes me mad. And then I get to thinking about it, and guess what? That's absolute truth, because the Word says that I'm healed, and we're going to talk about healing tonight for a little bit. See, because when you start looking at vindication and justification and sanctification, it all leads to restoration. Because if you go and search all those words out, guess what? Restoration is in all of them. See, I believe what God wants to do, He wants to make something better than what it was before. Like those people can take and put a, man, they'll take an old car and they'll put a whole new suspension under it. And it stops better. It steers better. And guess what? You put the right motor in, it'll go a lot better. And that's what God's doing in our lives. He's wanting to restore some things in our life, and He wants to make it better. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, it says this, and we've heard this scripture many, many, many times here, because we believe it. I believe it. He said, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. The hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army will I send among you. And what's that great army? I want to tell you what. I believe that, I know that God has this great army, this great legion of angels. Guess what? And they walk in among us. And we have an all-seeing God that knows when there's trouble. He knows when the enemy is coming against us. And guess what He does? He says, my army's a lot greater than His army. See, when I don't know how to stand, when I don't feel like standing, guess what? God will stand me up and He will uphold me with the right hand of His righteousness. And whatever the enemy wants to throw at me, guess what? It don't make any difference. See, He's my shield. He's my buckler. You know, He's the shield in front of me. He's the shield behind me. He's my protector. Verse 26 says this, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. I'm not going to be put to shame. Why? Because I'm His people. See, no matter what the enemy may throw against me, no matter what the situation may look like, guess what? My God's still in control. My God's able. See, tonight is your God able. If you got the same God I got, He's able, let me tell you. Verse 27 says this, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And again, He said it again, we're not going to be put to shame. Are you His people? Are you walking where God wants you to be walking at? Are you walking in sanctification and vindication and justification? Are you walking in the restoration that God has for you? See, our God's a restorer. And He built us, He made us, and guess what? He's saying, it can be even better. I was thinking, and it's bad when I start thinking, but I was thinking the other day, and I was on the phone with my son Jimmy, and him and I used to have, I used to just love, because he would sit down and we'd talk about the Word for hours, and Shane kept coming to the truck, Dad, are you coming? And I was on the phone with Jimmy, and we were talking about the Word. And I was saying, I said, Jimmy, I got an idea about something. He said, what is it, Dad? And I said, you know, it talks about, we were talking about restoring things. And I said, you know, Adam was in the garden, and he walked with God. And I said, all the prophets and stuff, they walked with God. Moses walked with God, and the Spirit of God come upon him at one time. But I said, God has restored us to a point to where He has put the Holy Spirit, listen, within us. The power of God. Amen. Something that nobody else has had, brother. I get to thinking about that, and that gives me little chills up and down my back, you know, that God has made mankind better through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He says in verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Listen, my sons and daughters are going to prophesy. See, the sons and daughters are going to prophesy. See, we need to be expecting that. We need to be expecting that to come forth in the body of Christ. That, guess what? The sons and daughters will prophesy. And old men, we just dream dreams. And young men have visions. See, the young people, you have a vision of what the future is. Listen to me. And I'm walking in what my vision was years ago. And now I dream about what my children are going to be able to do with the vision that God's given them. It goes on to say, even on the male and female servants, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And verse 30 says, and I will show wonders in heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. I want to tell you what, that's a prophecy right there. There will be a time, folks, that there will be a great shaking in this earth. It goes on to say, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. It didn't say who thinks about the Lord or who reads about the Lord. It says everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that we have to take what we've heard, what we feel, and put it into action, and we have to call on the name of the Lord. It says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. There's something else that when you walk in restoration, it happens. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 says this, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares. He's going to bring health. And the wounds where the enemy has wounded us, or where somebody has wounded us or hurt us, guess what? He is going to heal them. So if you've been hurt by somebody, don't look for that somebody to help you or heal you. Look to the Lord for your healing. Look to the Lord to heal those wounds. Look to the Lord to raise you up. Thank you, God. He brings health. Psalms 51:12, it says this, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. He brings joy. See, restoration brings joy. See, we need to learn to be happy with God. And He says, you've got to be willing. And if we look at the word willing, it means that we have to be able to stand up and say, okay, I receive that joy, I receive that happiness, I'm willing to worship you, I'm willing to praise you. When I feel like it and when I don't feel like it, because I want to tell you something, you can praise yourself happy. And all of us have different ways of praising God. You know, I'm a people watcher. I'm a thinker. My wife will ask me sometimes, what's wrong with you? And I'll say, I'm thinking. I'm just thinking. What's wrong with you? No, Mary, I'm just thinking. Leave me alone. I'm thinking. Because I am a thinker, folks. I sit down and I think about stuff. And I will ponder things. But it brings joy. It brings happiness. See, as we walk with God and we let Him start doing His complete work in us, Casey, guess what? It's going to bring us joy. It's going to bring us happiness. I don't care what the enemy has done to you, thrown at you, or what that makes no difference. What makes a difference is what His Word says, and His Word says that He's going to restore His joy to you. Where there was mourning and hurt, He's going to bring joy and happiness. If you ever hunted much, I like to hunt, and lots of times I like to sleep when I'm hunting. And Brother Angelo and I get in the blind together, it'd be two snoring real quick. But when you're sitting there waiting for the sun to come up, it always gets darkest just before the light breaks forth. If you've got something, listen to me, if you've got something that you're believing God for, and it may look dark now, guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Amen. When that sun breaks forth, guess what? We need to be praising God and thanking God for what He's going to do in that day. John 10:10 says this, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." See, what the thief has stolen, he's going to restore. See, if a thief may come and stole money from you, or property from you, or relationships from you, and he's saying, guess what, I'm going to restore those things. And not only is he going to restore it, he's going to make it better than it ever could have been before. About 12 years ago, I went through a horrible, horrible thing. I went through a bad divorce after being married for 38 years. I thought my life was over. I thought, well, I'm going to live down here on the farm in southern Arkansas. Go to work every day. Never did miss work because I was hurting. But then all of a sudden, and on New Year's Eve, and that little lady got married, and guess what? It's better than it ever was. Hallelujah. Better than ever. Glory to God. See, the thief comes to steal. God comes to bring restoration. Amen. And make things better than what it was before. Psalms 23:3. It says this, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores your soul. He restores your very being, how you think. He takes all the garbage that was there, and if you will let Him, guess what? He will restore. Restores my soul. Restores my mind. Restores feeling. When I think I can't love no more, guess what? He restores love. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He brings rest. Rest. He brings rest to the weary. He gives His beloved what? Sweet sleep. Sweet rest. Mark 8:25, it says, "Then Jesus laid His hand on His eyes again and opened His eyes. His sight was restored, and He saw everything clearly." Not only does He restore physical sight, He will restore spiritual sight in your life. And not only will He restore it, He will make it 20/20. See, He'll make it where we can see things in the Spirit that we never thought we could see before, Sister Millie. 2 Corinthians 13:10, it says this, "For this reason I write these things while I am away for you, that when I come I may not have to be severe in my use of authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down." The next verse it says, "Finally, brethren, rejoice, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the Lord, the God of love and peace, will be with you." Aim for restoration. My sight is not to tear down. That's what he said. My sight is to restore. My aim, Kayla, is not to hinder, to put down, but to restore. To restore. That's my grandbaby back there saying, "Amen, Papa. You're doing good." In 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is probably one of my favorite scriptures, because when I used to go and preach revivals all the time, this is where I would come to usually in the end. Well, we're not at the end yet, but it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So what it's saying there, if you are truly in Christ, the old things have passed away and things have been made new. It doesn't say that you're going to diddle-daddle and hinder around and in the old things. It says they are dead. The old man's dead. And a new man has been risen up. It says he's gone. It's out of here. He's made things new. Verse 18 says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." If you research reconciliation, the root word is restoration. I love words. That is, in Christ was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, the message of restoration. See, He entrusted me with that. And you. He's given us a ministry and a message, folks. Verse 20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ." Everybody knows what an ambassador is? In civics, it said this, that an ambassador is someone that's appointed by a head of state to be their representative in another country, and they speak for that head of state. See, we've become ambassadors of Jesus Christ here on this earth right now, to speak forth the good news of Jesus, to speak forth the healing power of Jesus, to speak forth the love of Jesus. He's entrusted that to us, and He's given us that ambassadorship. It says, "God making His appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled, be restored to God. Be made better than you ever have been in your life." Verse Verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Think about it. In Jesus, in Christ, through him, not only have I become his ambassador, he's called me righteous. I've been made righteous, Brother Charles. Because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, and because I was willing to say, guess what? I'm here. I want to be reconciled. I want to be restored to more than Adam was. You know what reconciliation means in Webster? The restoration of friendly relations. Isn't it good to be on friendly relations with God and with Christ? Isn't it good to be there? Amen. It's our ministry. How do we do it? That's the next question. How do we do it? Galatians 6:1 says this. It says, "Brother, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." And then it says, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." How do we do this? We restore people in a spirit of gentleness. I don't have to tell most people that they're going to hell. They already know that. I have to show them a way to a true loving life. Something true, something great, something loving. Something that's not going to condemn them, but it's going to lift them up and bless them. And bring them to a position where they are better than they ever have been before. So, man, I don't like this, Brother Larry. You're meddling. I don't care. He gave us a message. What's our message? What's the message that he gave the church, the believers, the one who had been restored, the ones that are his ambassadors? What's the message he's given us? Well, we go to John 3:16. All of us learned that as children. "For God so loved the world, for God so loved Larry Baker, that he gave his only son, that if Larry would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about how God works. God won't leave you, but you can leave God. It's like a cloud of protection. I preached a message here several years ago about move with the cloud. It's like he has a cloud of protection over us, Brother Alvey. And as long as I stay under that cloud, I'm okay. But if I move out from underneath that cloud, it's like yanking a fish out of the water. What happens when you yank a fish out of the water? You say, okay, fish, breathe up here. Fish can't breathe. He can't live. I'm a spiritual being. Listen, if you ain't a spiritual being, we'll get you there here before tonight's over. I'm a spiritual being. I have to move with the Holy Spirit. the move of God in my life. And guess what? When I decide to move out of that, guess what? I'm in for trouble. Who needs this? Everybody. Romans 3:10 says, as it's written, none is righteous, no, not one. There's not anybody righteous. Nobody. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us are in the need of restoration, and I'm not a completed work because I'm going to be better than what I was before. Why? That's what restoration is all about, folks. Romans 6:23 says this, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed His love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Before, while I was doing everything, brother, while I was out there living in the world, while you were out there with those gangs and I was out there being the best redneck I knew how to be, God loved me. Christ died for me. Romans 10:9 and 10 says, because, listen, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, and listen, and is justified. And with the mouth, confession. With the mouth, confesses and is saved. Somewhere down in here, I have to believe that that word's true. I have to get it down in my knower, Kelly. And then I have to be willing to say, you know what, no matter what, I have to come to a point where I'm willing to confess, guess what, I was wrong, and God's right. And I'm going to confess Jesus with my mouth tonight. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. I don't just believe it, I know God raised Him from the dead. Amen. And the only way, listen, the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven is through the Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you what, if you think there's another way there, you're badly mistaken. And I could go to several other places in the Word of God and show you to where, guess what, there won't be no liars there. There won't be no thieves there. There won't be no fornicators there. And there won't be no adulterers there. Brother Charles, it'll just be the people who have confessed Jesus and believed in their heart. And guess what God wants to do? He wants to restore. Amen. See, Brother Mike, it don't make any difference what we've done in the past. It makes a difference on what we do today. What we did yesterday don't count. It's what we do today that counts. Romans 10:13 says this, for everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let that sink in, Lord. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As long as you're still breathing, you've not gone so far that the saving grace of Jesus Christ can't reach down and restore you and reconcile all your sins. And the Word says it'll make you as white as snow. He'll take a heart of stone, brother. And the Word says He'll turn it into a heart of flesh. He'll take that old cold, hard heart that we have, Casey, and He will take and squeeze it and melt it and make that old stone start beating. And become something that can feel. Something that can love. Something that can show compassion. See, that's what God can do. Guess what? He's called you to be a part of it. See, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're just all ambassadors of Jesus Christ while we're here. And who we touch in what allotted time we have on this earth is our heritage. Ask you a question tonight. Where do you stand at with Jesus? Are you on the outside looking in? Are you on the inside praising God? So I don't know where I'm at. Then you're on the outside looking in. He said, I write these things unto you that you may what? Know you have eternal life. See, you can't convince me that I'm not saved. How do you know? You say, well, it says so in the Word. It ain't by how I feel, because sometimes I don't feel saved. It's according to what the Word says. If the Word says I'm saved, Brother Sam, I'm saved. It's okay if I pray. I got a prayer that I pray a lot. I pray something like this every day. I wrote the thing down for tonight where I wouldn't miss anything. And I don't know why I did this, but God knows. It goes like this. And listen to me as I'm praying this. If I'm reading this off, if this is you, just say, Lord, that's me. I need it. It's me. Me and Joel Osteen pray this all the time. Amen. It's about every morning going to work. It says, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. And that He died on the cross to save me from my sin. I believe that He rose again to life and that He invites me to live forever with Him in heaven. As a part of His family. Because of what Jesus has done, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. I invite you to come into my heart and into my life. I trust Jesus as my Savior today. And I'll follow Him as my Lord. Help me to live in a way that's pleasing to you, Father. Amen. Well, I'm done. Title this, Restoration's My Job. It's your job. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Here for just a moment. We will never pass this way again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I'm going to ask you tonight before we leave. Do you want to be back in a better place? Do you want to be restored? Or are you content where you are right now? Restore unto me. I've gone the wrong way, Lord. And I want to come back to the right way. If there's anybody in here that's your prayer tonight, I want you to stand up and Brother Larry is going to pray with you. If that's the case, everybody that's the case, you come right up here. Come right up here. And what we're going to do a group prayer. And then I'm going to speak the last blessing. Bring me to that place, Lord, where I should be. Bring me to that place that I left. Lord, I believe in your forgiveness. Well, heck, we're all up here. I'm going to lead you into prayer. Then Larry's going to pray over you. And then I'm going to speak a blessing over you, and then we're going to go home. You know, this is a happy place when we can look at our lives and say, you know, Larry, I was thinking, everybody needs to be in a better place. And look here, brother. Pray this with me. Lord God in heaven.
Lord God in heaven.
I'm a sheep. I feel like I've missed it.
I've missed it, Lord.
I believe that you would leave the crowd.
I believe you would leave the crowd.
And that
this evening,
you came to me.
You came to me.
And I've come to you. I want your restoration.
I want your restoration.
Lord, help me.
Help me, Father.
To be where I'm supposed to be.
Be where I'm supposed to be.
Now everybody just take hands or put your hand on someone's shoulder. And Brother Larry, pray for these folks. And then we'll close.
You know the need of each individual that's standing here. You know where they're at with you, Lord.
Yes,
and
you
I'm
do,
asking, Lord.
Lord,
that right now in the name of Jesus, restoration take place. That you restore people to the right position that they are in your kingdom.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This Christmas tree represents the beautiful season that we just had, and it's fading away. It's gone. It'll soon be gone. As Kelly told us, they've already got Happy Valentine's, Easter, but the peace on earth and goodwill towards men, God wants it to last all year long. If you would, lift up your hands and let me speak God's blessing over you. God wants everybody to know that you're blessed, that He loves you. Larry spoke aright when he said, to reach out in love to those who need restoration. I say unto you freely, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the power of restoration, the power to bring you back to that right place and to give you peace in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.